Hi, this is Jack Alice, author of Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages. You're listening to Out There, hosted by TJ Ryan.
I've known this fella for a while now, and I like him. We get along really well. We seem to connect on a lot of things. We sure have a few interests in mind. And I've always thought it would be interesting to get someone on that, you know, try to find out why they think the way they do. I've noticed in my life, especially in the last 20 years or so, this generation that's come up and the generations behind that, they just seem to be more aware of what's going on. And they just don't buy into everything they're told like my generation did. And, you know, for years, okay, keep feeding me the whatever, you know, give me the Kool-Aid to drink, you know. So now there are people, maybe the internet has a lot to do with it too. People are seeing different things. But my guest is Andy Crispina. Are you sure you want to do this, Andy?
Yes. Good afternoon. Yes, I do.
The thing is, you know, this is internet, so it's not like it's local radio. You wouldn't be doing this on local radio, I'm guessing.
Probably not. But I have no problem sharing my views. I mean, I think, you know, you got to come from a common sense. Most people come from a common sense.
Now, you run your own business, right? Two restaurants. And your dad owned the restaurants before that, right?
Yep.
So how long has this been a family, kind of a family business?
Well, since my dad, Joe, 1972, they opened Crispina's. Well, it was originally the TNT Supper Club for 4 years. And then they changed it to Crispina's Supper Club. And all the way up to 2006, they basically made a decision to retire. And I was young and really didn't want anything to do with the restaurant business, and my priorities were not to be in the restaurant business. And so we took a break for a while, and I moved away. I lived in Minneapolis, St. Paul for a while and got some experience there. And then my parents continued to sell the sauce out of their house because people love our spaghetti sauce and the cheese sauce and the marinara and the hot bacon dressing. So meanwhile, I'm talking to my parents on the phone, you know, oh yeah, we're selling blah, 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 blah. It started out as they were selling it for friends, you know, special occasions. Well, you know, fast forward 2 years later, 2009, 2010, my dad's delivering twice a week. And they have like this little business going, you know, and then the government passed their cottage industry law, which basically says that if you don't make over 15 grand in cash, that's fine. They let you do it, you know, because people sell pasties out of their house and raviolis and whatever. So I said, well, we would be dumb to not open something up again if people love it that much still. So then I moved home, and the original idea was to open up a store. But our old building came available, and it just worked out. We got some help, and here we are 4 years later, and Crispina's restaurant is still open. And then, of course, decided to open up Andy's Diner in April of 2015. So, and things are well. Things are going really well. You know, the restaurant business is very volatile, and they tell you, you know, entrepreneurs don't get involved in the restaurant business. And typically, you know, they say half fail within a year. But so we've been very lucky, you know, very lucky. And I can't complain. But I love it too. You know, the restaurant business, and I'm sure it's very similar to what you do. It's a daily grind. Daily, daily, every day, every day, every day, every day. And unless you're in love with it.
Like anything you do in life.
Yeah. You will.
My job's a little easier to love because I get to have fun, lots of fun. And maybe you're having fun when you're doing yours.
Oh, yeah.
But to me, it's not like work. This is right. What we're doing now. This is not work,
no,
you know?
No. And for the first time in my life, I can honestly say, which is one of the best feelings, is when I get up in the morning, I do not dread going to work.
Isn't that nice?
And I've had jobs where, like, I mean, pit in my stomach, butterflies, like pure, unadulterated anxiety and depression from jobs.
Yeah.
Because they're so pressure-filled, and you don't like the people you work with, and you hate the job. And, I mean, I've quit jobs on the spot because I just... in my early 20s, I mean, I just could not handle it.
So let's talk about what's molded you throughout your life. How were you raised?
I was raised Catholic. My parents are very loving, you know, very affectionate, and very excitable. My parents.
What does that mean, excitable?
Well, they
get wound up.
Yeah, they get wound up. You know, real easy.
It's like the Italian, maybe.
Yeah, my mom's Irish.
Oh, there you go. That's a combination.
So Irish Italian. My dad's Italian, and you know they have a tendency to go from 0 to 10
real quick,
real fast. But then everybody goes to their corner, and it's like all is forgiven. Very, very strange. So that's kind of like the household I grew up in. So very loving, very like open.
Yeah.
You know, but at times very volatile.
And you didn't hold your emotions back.
No.
And we see that a lot with a lot of the European, you know, influence. Certain ones were very, and it's good in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you bottle it up.
Oh, totally. I mean, I have friends of mine where I'm a very, very big believer, and now that I have kids of my own, I'm a very, very, very big believer in raising kids, and how you raise your kids are so important. About not 100% of the time, people can kind of recorrect, or you know, if they have a bad upbringing or whatever, but how you are raised has so much effect on this world, and how you turn out, and your morals, and whether you're positive or whether you're a downer or whether you're ambitious, whether you're lazy, it's so, so, so important. And overall, I could never complain about how I was raised. Never. We got, you know, I mean, we got too much. I mean, if I had to complain about anything, is my parents probably gave us too much. I mean, we worked. Don't get me wrong. I mean, my parents definitely instilled a work ethic, you know, that it took till I was 28 years old or 27 years old to get it finally, but it's there. They plant.
You know, they say it's always tough for like children of people that run a successful business. You look at even like Hollywood types, these kids that their parents are major celebrities.
Everything given to them.
And they have a tough time dealing with it.
They do.
And so there's a lesson in that too.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally.
Give your kids nothing. Make them live out in the streets. Right? Is that what you do?
You know, it's really hard because I think about it, and most kids aren't. They're going to have to figure it out on their own.
Somewhere along the way.
You know what I mean? You cannot push it onto your kids. You just can't. I went through it. I heard it loud and clear. And did I listen? No. But I figured it out. Finally, at 27 years old, 26 years old, and everybody figures it out differently, but
some people maybe never figure it out.
Some people never figure it out. But then again, the base of how you're brought up has a bearing on whether you have a chance.
Do you believe, because you told me you're really not a practicing Catholic anymore?
No.
You don't really believe it too much anymore?
No. I believe in some aspects of it. I like the togetherness of it, you know, going to church with your family and having that day together, going out for breakfast after or whatever. Like, I get that part of it. But as far as all the, what I hated about Catholicism is all the rules and regulations and, you know, don't do this, mortal sins, venial sins. Oh God, if I don't go to church, I can't take communion. And if you take communion, then it's a sacrilege and da, 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 da. And it's like, can we focus on why we're here rather than whether I have 5 mortal sins this week? That's what I always hated about it. It's like I can honestly say that I never got anything out of it. And I used to tell my parents, why are you making me go? Because I don't get a thing out of it. Zero.
My question was going to be, because you're no longer, and this is just something that doesn't, you just sense that is not right, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people in your generation that feel that way. People used to do what they were told, and they followed and followed and followed. And now in the last 20, 30 years, we're seeing people break away.
Oh, yeah.
And I think people, in my understanding, they just know. People are being born into more awareness. So getting back to, you said your upbringing has a lot to do with it. And I was going to ask you, do you think any of that's by accident? Your situation compared to somebody else's situation in the world, do you think that there's choices that are made in that? Do you think that everything is by design from where I come from?
Mm-hmm.
There's a grand design to everything, and it's by choice.
Yeah. You know, I really don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know. I'm on the fence. I'm at a point in my life where I really don't know. Okay. I would like to believe, part of me would like to believe that there's someone out there watching for me, but then the scientific side of me takes over and it says, you know, we're nothing more than some organisms that have evolved into humans.
What I'm saying, I'm not saying that God is out watching for you, but I'm saying that we make the choices in our life. We take full accountability for what we design. This is really our design, and we create these things. Just like you say, we create success through our loving what we do. I think that's a huge ingredient. But also, we create the world around us through the law of attraction and desire. And so, and in order, you know, we do that so we can experience many different things when we come here. So I'm of the belief that not only does it take, it's good to have the upbringing, but also we make choices before we even come here as to what it is we want to gain. That's where it's where I stand from. It's like, I know we come back again and again. How do you feel about reincarnation?
I haven't really given it much thought. I mean, I guess it's plausible. It seems, like when I think about that stuff, it seems, when you think about the universe and the earth and humans, and it seems so vast to me that there's got to be some kind of, whether you want to call it spiritual energy or higher power or something, that controls that stuff, like reincarnation and different dimensions and that kind of stuff. It's very, very possible. I haven't really thought about reincarnation much.
You don't think you were like a chef back in Italy back in the 1400s?
I don't know. I don't know.
Here you are now doing it again.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
Have you ever felt a desire to a certain time period?
No, not really.
If you look back on history, is there some time period that you really are drawn to?
Well, this is probably because I'm Italian, but I love Roman history. I love it. Everything about it. I've done a ton of reading on it, and it's very, very interesting. But I think that's the, Italian-Roman kind
could
of
be.
Connection.
Could be.
But
you could have been Claudius.
Could have been. There's a ton of really cool stories as far as the Roman, Roman mythology and Romans.
I generally find, I used to be really drawn to the Civil War.
Okay.
And Native American. And it got to the point, and it took a long time for me to get to this, probably in the last 10 years, where I just started to feel that it was so real. And the more I let that feeling envelop me, the more I kind of knew. And then I talked to a couple of people that are psychic friends of mine, several people. It's been more than one. And more than one confirmed that I was a soldier in the Civil War. And I fought for the North. And I knew this in my heart. And I knew also in my heart, but I'd come to the conclusion before anybody told me, that I left somebody behind, that I died on the battlefield and I left somebody behind. It just was such a strong feeling. And then it was confirmed to me that I left my mother behind, people told me. And then as far as Native American, I knew that my last time as Native American, I just knew it in my heart. And again, this didn't happen overnight. It just took me searching and opening up to it. And I believed that it was in the 1700s, the late 1700s. And this, too, was confirmed by other people that didn't know me from anything, and said you lived here, and I knew it was out west somewhere, and those kind of things.
That's like a, you're saying that's a previous life.
Previous lifetime that I have memory of. And this is why I asked you, if you're interested in something, there's a good chance when you're drawn to something in history.
Like you said, I think you have to be open to it. I would love to try. Maybe there is something there. But
What if somebody told you that you were a Roman soldier at some point?
That'd be crazy.
Would you be open to it?
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah.
And maybe you killed some people?
Maybe.
That wouldn't bother you?
Maybe. No.
No, I'm good with that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Well, if we've done this before, we probably play just about every role there is. And people will say, well, why do you do that? And again, I don't put it in God. I put it on us. God gave us the great freedom. This being that created us gave us the great being, the freedom to go and experience physical life, because we're not physical. We're spirit.
Right.
And so we wanted to be physical beings. And well, let's try this. And if you're going to do this, like any experience, let's go all out. I want to try being this. I want to try being that. And so we got caught up in the physical manifestation here of doing this over and over again and trying every different angle. I'm going to try it as a woman. I'm going to try it as this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's kind of what the belief in, you know, some like of the Far Eastern beliefs
right.
have reincarnation where you can come back as an animal. In all the experience that I've had of talking to people and interviewing people, that doesn't seem to be the case, but that doesn't mean they're wrong. But people come back as people, animals come back as, like cats come back as cats, they will come back as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll come back. Animals kind of have their own kingdom, their own spirit kingdom, and humans have theirs. And what happens after we're done with all that? I think we just continue to go on. We're all energy continues to go on. If we're energy, aren't we, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. So would you think energy is going to be destroyed when you die? What's going to happen to you when you die? Now, what's your belief on that?
Like I said, I'm kind of on the fence. I mean, you shape what you believe through experiences, and I have definitely had some religious experiences when I was younger. Do they
impact you?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I don't know. I can't explain it.
What was the one? Tell me the one where you're at that camp.
Camp, yeah. So it was one of our stipulations for getting confirmed as a Catholic is you had to go to one overnight retreat. And there's this place in Ohio, Steubenville. It's a very well-known Catholic, I think it's a Catholic college or school. And we took the trip to Steubenville. And the last day there, they had this ceremony. And if you're Catholic, a lot of times what they do is they put the Eucharist on display. I forget what it's called. But that's what this ceremony was, and they had everybody there. There had to be 2,500 people in this tent, giant tent. And they had this ceremony, and the priest and his servers and that, they put the Eucharist on display, and with incense in that, they were walking around through the crowd. And even my friends that were with me, because he had been before, he said, it was very strange because we're like 13, 14, and you know how you are when you're 13, like you don't care, this is stupid. And,
right.
And we're just here because we need to. And he's telling me, you know, prior to all this about, oh, just wait, you know, people will be dropping like flies and speaking in tongues and all this. And I was like, come on, no way. Very, you know, just crazy stuff.
Right.
And I tell you what, if there was anybody at that time that was not... Because I always go back to this because if there's anybody at that ceremony that could care less, it was me and my friends. And I still cannot explain what happened, if they put a chemical in the air or something. But, I mean, me, my friend Dan, and my friend Clarence were all standing there, and... I remember, I don't know, not passing out, but I remember thinking about my brother specifically and my family And before I knew it, we were all holding hands and we were all in tears.
Hmm.
Like at the blink of an eye, in tears. All bawling like babies. All three of us. And I can't explain it. I literally cannot explain
it.
Did
you see other people passing out?
Yes.
Did you see people talking in tongues?
Yes. People dropping, people being carried out on stretchers, speaking in tongues, people laughing hysterically because they say there's so many gifts of the Holy Spirit. They mm-hmm. say there's gifts.
Right.
And it's probably the single biggest experience I've ever had. As far as anything on the other side and something that I cannot explain.
How did you not accept your faith and your teaching completely after that?
I did. Oh, I did for a while.
What made you change?
Just
like you said, all the...
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's when you get older and, you know, you start a career and have kids and things. I try to stay positive. I think the world has a gift of making people cynical and negative. And I think just, you know, the path I've taken has kind of pushed me away from that. So I will always remember that. And there's a possibility I might go back to that at some point. I just know that for me with my kids, I do not want to push it on my children.
That's good.
Because that's what was done to me. Mm-hmm. Is I was forced.
A lot of us feel that way.
to go to church. Yeah. And I was forced to go to CCD when I didn't get jack crap out of it. Zero. Yeah. And it was dumb to me because I wasn't getting anything out of it. My parents were the ones that were getting something out of it, not me.
Why were they? What do you mean they were getting something?
Well, you know how parents are. They want, you know, they want everything to look good and, you know,
right.
kids to, you know.
We lead these lives of having...
Right.
We put on these representation of what we want people to think.
Yes.
And the truth is, no family's perfect.
No. And, you know, our last name is on a building for 30 years, and we're kind of in the public.
So you want to present the best
right.
image you can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that all has to do with that. You know, our kids have to go to CCD. They have to get confirmed. We have to go to church.
So we continue to feed these older institutions.
But somewhere along the way, my parents definitely took a turn for where they really were starting to get something out of it. I don't know when that happened because when I was really young, we lived next door to a Catholic church my entire life. And until I was probably 10, maybe 11, we didn't go to church.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure what happened, but... both of my parents started to become more involved, you know. And I know both of them, they still go. And, you know, they go to chapel and do, you know. And if they're getting something out of it, great. I just don't want to push it on my kids and force them.
Right.
You know, let them make their own decision. Religion is a personal thing, I think. And to be pushing it on your kids, that's crazy.
Yeah.
To me.
I agree.
That's a crazy thing. I mean,
and that's what a lot of enlightened parents nowadays are seeing, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
They're seeing, you know, this happened to me. Why would I do this, force this on my children?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's for their own good. Well, there's a lot of things they claim are for our own good, but maybe they're not necessarily.
No.
So I think that's awesome that you're doing that. And I think the parents of today, like I say, people today are more aware. There was a time children were just told what to do, and you did it. And now they're taking the consideration... Now, how old are you, can I ask? Andy?
32.
So I don't know if you've been around, you've been around long enough to see some changes, but there have been changes, big changes, in the last 20 to 30 years over the way gays are treated, over the way children are treated, animals getting rights, people caring about them. There's a huge shift in consciousness going on, I believe, that we're seeing people being more compassionate for everything.
Yeah, and I think that the internet... definitely has helped with that. I think you're right there that I mean, look at what's going on, that, you know, the Arab Spring, they call it, you know, what's going on, all the Arab countries and Eastern countries, all the young people and the young adults and most people over there, they're all waking up.
Mm-hmm.
They're all realizing, you know, that
the governments aren't serving them.
Man, it's not supposed to be like this. We're not supposed to be treated like this.
Right.
You're not supposed to treat others like this.
Yeah, I think the internet has a lot to do with that, but I think there's also a collective consciousness, if you want to call it that, that we all are tapping into.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more present now, and people always ask, and I always ask, well, why is it more present now than it was before? And I think because, you know, there's been, we've seen shifts, great changes in attitudes, and it's part of this growth period that we're going through right now. Some people, a lot of people said 2012 was going to be the end. The Mayans were predicting the end. If you know anything about ancient culture and understand where they got their information from, what they believed there were always these cycles that we're going through, and each cycle was going to bring us to a new level of understanding. And sometimes we were in these periods of darkness for a long, long, long time before we lifted out. And this cycle that was coming in 2012 was the beginning, the dawn of enlightenment, is basically what they were saying, that we were going to start seeing things in a different way. And you wonder, well, why wouldn't we see it that way to begin with? You know, I always throw that as like, how come we didn't, who's keeping us from seeing it? And I truly believe there are energies out there that have been controlling and manipulating us and keeping us from seeing it as it is. And their time has come to, they're being asked to leave, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And because everything's gentle. With love, everything's gentle. You don't force and say, well, why doesn't God come down here and take it? Because God doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
A being of love would never come down, just like you with your kids. I'm not going to tell you what to do. This is your life. You have to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
I'm always here if you need me.
Right.
Ask for me. If you don't ask for me, I'm not going to help you.
Yeah.
That's what I think the bigger message, a lot of what religion is trying to tell us, but they get caught up in all this other stuff.
Right. That was my complaint about it. Like, why are we worried about all these rules and regulations?
Because doesn't it just seem like control?
Oh, for sure.
They're trying to keep you a part of their herd, almost, so to speak.
For sure.
And I think you're much better off. I think it's good to have that foundation, learn about it a little bit, but also you got to find, it's an inside job to find spirituality.
Oh, for sure.
And didn't you also find that God seemed so distant? You always had to be asking him. You always had to hope that he would answer your prayer. Didn't he seem like he was distant to you when you were, think back on that?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, like I said, I mean, other than the few experiences I've had, I mean, now when I had that experience, I did become very heavily involved for a while.
Did you notice a change in your life?
I would say, yeah. I mean, I was probably, you know, more positive. I probably felt better about things because, you know, I have members of my family that are, you know, full blown atheists.
That's going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah, and
I mean, at the dinner table with your parents being Catholic.
Yeah. No, I know, and but. The one thing about spirituality, and we've had these talks, is it's nice because, you know, like whether you believe in angels or guardian angels or whatever, you always got that fallback. You know what I mean? You've always got that fallback that when you go to bed at night, you know, there's somebody watching out for me. Whatever that is, God, guardian angel, whatever you believe in.
And you don't have that right now?
No, I would say I do have that.
You think that? You believe that?
I definitely think there's somebody looking out for me because we've been very, very lucky. We've been very blessed, you know. But as far as it being God or Jesus, I don't know. That's what I'm on the fence about. I believe there is some kind of higher power.
Right.
But whatever that is, I can't explain it.
Do you believe Jesus actually existed?
I believe he existed, but... I don't know. I mean, the Bible is you know, one book out of millions.
Yeah,
you
that's
know
kind
I
of
mean?
The way I look at it.
One book,
and
out
I wonder
of
about how much of it was, you know, it's been translated 5 different times.
Right.
So how much was left out? And there are books they chose to leave out that could have changed things greatly.
Totally, totally.
And you wonder also, look at men in general, men that have power. Would they manipulate the truth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And look at the Romans. You think the Romans didn't control others? So if the Roman Catholic Church is created...
They're the ones that killed them, you know?
That's true.
I mean,
so would they have, now some people say, and there's, this could be a truth, that these men that wrote these, you know, Bibles from these letters, wrote the chapters, were being inspired by God, by a higher power. And so that certainly, I think God, this being that you want to call divine being, does work through all of us. We all channel this being. But I just look at it as there's way too much restriction. And anything that talks about love, to me, higher energy. Anything that talks about control, restriction, I don't follow it.
Yeah.
That's just,
and
not,
there's a lot of that in there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in there.
Especially in the Old Testament.
Oh, for
and isn't
sure.
it funny how, like, the Jewish faith doesn't believe Jesus to be the Messiah. They think he's a messenger, but he's not. He didn't perform everything that they believe he is supposed to do to become, in their version, what the Old Testament said. So they follow the Old Testament.
Right.
And then you have the Christians that follow more of the New Testament.
Right.
And then you have so many other religions out there fighting.
Right.
And we fight over something that we shouldn't be fighting over.
No, no.
We should be finding ways to love each other more.
I know. It's like I said earlier, it's all common sense. I mean, you know, the Muslims and Islam and all that stuff, it's like, if you're a normal adult and you have a decent head on your shoulders and you're not sick or, you know, deranged in any way, how can you not look at a suicide bombing or hurting others in the name of your religion as a good thing? How can you ever justify that in your own brain? Now, I get people are indoctrinated in these things. They are born and raised in this. So it is hard for us.
Well, that's more of an extreme end of it, because not all Muslims think that way. No. I don't believe at all.
No.
And so you have extreme Christian religions that are cults.
That do crazy stuff.
I mean, we can go back to David Koresh.
Oh, yeah.
So there's extremes on all of it.
I can't see hurting others in any religion, how hurting others for your cause.
Right.
How can that be good? How can you invoke religion or God or love and you're hurting others?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Well, some of the Quran talks about, I believe, that if people are not believers, that they must be, I don't know what the exact words are, removed or, but you know, you could go back in the Old Testament and you could find things where,
right,
you could get rid of people for not believing a certain way. You know, I look at it as, again, I just think of the love I have for the people around me. And in general, I've always been a person with a lot of love in my heart.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I came from. It's a natural thing. This other stuff is not natural. Look at little children, how much love they have and joy.
Yeah.
And then they change as they get older.
Yep.
And I think this is what we are in our natural state.
Yes.
And then I've had my own experiences, like I told you, Andy, from the other side.
Yeah.
Both of my parents. And the love I felt from them. And love, well, how do you define it? But to me, it was this incredible joy that just poured out of them and it went right through me.
Yeah.
And there was no conditions. I could have been the worst person on the planet and whoever, whatever being that was coming from my parents, but whatever it came from beyond that, this being didn't care.
Right.
It's like, so?
Right.
And that's what I think exists. This is a playground, I think, more than anything, that we come here because we want to be here. And and we choose all these things that happen. And when you return, and you, if you study people that have had near-death experience, or in my case, contact with both parents after they passed, and there's a lot of stories out there, or a lot of people say the same thing.
Yeah. That
there's this incredible love, and there seems to be no judgment.
Now, you made me remember the story I told you, and I'll tell it again. The story I told you about that woman that we saw, or Virgin Mother.
Yeah, is this when you lived?
Yeah,
next
I forgot
to the
about
church?
This. Yeah, that's another experience that I've had.
So you believe in spirits?
Oh yeah, for sure. I believe. Yeah, there's got to be something.
Well, you probably got some in your restaurant.
Yeah, there has to be. I think.
You probably got some hanging out at your restaurant.
Oh, I'm sure. I think there's been too much evidence. I mean, of all the phenomenon out there, that's probably one of the most likely that does exist. Some, you know, whether you want to call it a Xerox or a spirit, or, you know, when people, they leave something behind. But we, my best friend and I, growing up, we lived in Wells next to St. Anthony's Church there. And we would do a lot of, like, playing in that out behind the church and in the church parking lot. And there was, you know, we're into catching bugs with nets and butterflies and picking flowers for our mothers or whatever. And the funny thing is I never brought this up until we got older, because I think when we were younger, we had no idea what we were seeing. But this goes to your point earlier about children and being in that pure state. You know, unadulterated love in their heart, not soured by anything,
right.
You know, pure joy. And I think that that's what happened to us, because I mean, I can still picture this woman in my head. And what would happen is we would go into this field next to the church, and we would see her periodically. It wouldn't be all the time. But she, I mean, the picture in my head, I hate to sound corny, but it does look exactly like the Virgin Mary. Very similar. You know what I mean? Like maybe that's something that I've created in my own head, but a woman very similar with the same kind of, you know, clothing on or whatever. And I don't know. I mean, maybe I've, you know, told myself that. But anyway, she would appear in this field, and she'd be like kind of, you know, sitting on her knees, kneeling. And she'd have this basket, and she would be picking flowers with her head kind of down. And we would always dare each other to go up to her, and we would never do it.
Wow, too bad you didn't, huh? Just imagine. Don't you wish now?
Yeah, that we would have. But we were always too scared, because she never looked up.
And you could, well, did this look like an apparition, or it looked like a real person?
It looked like an apparition. It did. She looked grayed out and faint. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
do you think if it was the Virgin Mary, she would at least wave to you, you know?
Yeah, something.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, nope. She, I mean, once in a while, if I remember correctly, she might pick her head up for a second, but that's it. No speaking.
She never looked at you?
No.
She never knew you guys were there?
It seemed like she never knew we were there.
So this almost sounds like a residual being. I'm not saying it couldn't be the Virgin Mary, but I'm just, from what you're telling me, it sounds like somebody going through a routine. You know, we leave that echo behind when
yes.
we leave sometimes, not all of us, but especially in emotional times. And so it just plays out,
right.
plays out. There's nobody actually there.
Right.
Now, there's times when there is somebody there, I believe.
Right.
And you'll know, because they'll be communicating with you.
She would be always in the same spot.
Yeah. That sounds certainly like a residual
yeah.
spirit that maybe had something to do with the church. But I do believe the Virgin Mary and other figures from that time period. And throughout history, there have been these incredible enlightened beings that have come here to assist us. And they assist us every time we ask. So you could say that about angels. You could say that about saints. You could say that about all these other beings.
Demons, whatever.
Yeah, I think, you know, darker energies exist. But the ones that want to help us, that are more enlightened, all we have to do is ask, and they're there to do that. And it's a choice they make. You know, what I don't like about religion is it says, well, God favors this one, and this one
yeah.
became this. And I think it's always a choice.
Yeah.
If you pass away, you could say, you know what, I want to go back and serve people. Go ahead. And you would come back, and they go, hey, it's St. Andy. It's St. Andy, and people might talk to you, and you would assist them. But
yeah.
that's the choice you make. Or you could go on to another journey
right.
and maybe not come back. Here
right.
to this place. And that's why everybody to me is equal. And that's hard for people to grasp, because people want to see Jesus as highly, you know, you can't put yourself in the same. And the thing is, we all came from the same place.
Right.
How could any one of us be any different? If we all came from one being, why would some be better than others or above others?
Right.
So I just see these are divine brothers and sisters who have made a choice to help us.
That makes sense. I don't know if I ever told you the story about my mom's dad, my grandpa Connery, his afterlife experience. Did I tell you about that story?
I think you might have, but I'd like to hear it again.
Yeah. So, I mean, out of all my, you know, extended family, my mom's dad, we were the closest to by far. He was that quintessential grandfather that, you know, the kids just loved to death. And, because my dad's dad, he died when I was two. So
mm-hmm.
he's the only grandpa I really had. And the guy's been through, you know, World War II, Korea. The guy had like four heart attacks. I mean, he ended up dying of lung cancer. But when he was working for Wisconsin Electric, he had an accident on a telephone pole. And he got electrocuted on the telephone pole, and he was belted to the pole. You know, they would belt mm-hmm. themselves to the pole while they were working. And the electricity went in his right arm and actually came out his left leg, and he still had the scars to show it, where it went in and came out. And the electricity hit him. He was dead. The belt snapped, and he fell to the ground, and literally the pounding from hitting the ground started his heart up again. And if you knew him, he's not the type of guy to, you know, be a wuss. I mean, the guy was in Korea, North Korea, you know,
right.
World War II. He was very sentimental. You know, he had no problem showing emotion or anything.
I like the term "be a wuss."
Yeah.
That you came up with.
Well, you know what I mean. He was a tough guy.
Right.
But then again, he was, you know, he was emotional at times and that. But I remember when he told us the story, because he didn't like telling it very often. But he sat us down once, and he told us the story, and the way he told it. Now, granted, we were young, but I mean, this man wholeheartedly believed this. So whatever he did experience was real to him for sure. Because, I mean, by the end of it, he was in tears. He was sobbing. He, you know, it affected him greatly the rest of his life. And the way he describes it is when he died up on that pole, and the few seconds or whatever where he was dead was more time than just falling. You know, he had a whole experience.
And what was the experience that he had?
The experience was, like people say, the stereotypical light.
Went to the light?
Light.
Did he see
someone pulling him towards something? And he remembers thinking about his family, and that, you know, very like everybody says, you know, he didn't want to leave yet. But he did tell me that one thing he could remember very vividly was this music playing. Like, the way he described it was this beautiful music he has never, ever heard and will never hear again while this was happening.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And, I mean, it affected me and my brother for the rest of our lives. I mean, just to watch him tell this story,
yeah,
you know, was just...
Just imagine if he was one of those people that keep it in. Because there was a time that you wouldn't talk about those things. And he came from that time.
Oh, sure.
And I kind of grew up in that too. But I've graduated beyond that, because it's like, I'm telling it, man. Because you never know who it's going to affect.
Right.
And so just think how that, if you never would have heard that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Such a gift in a way.
Oh, yeah.
So now how do you feel about dying? How do you feel about your grandfather being gone?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that you know, that has, you know, shaped my opinions too. I just, I'm still on the fence, because part of me wants to be practical and scientific about everything. And,
right.
You know.
But do you want to know your grandfather's around, right? Do you
believe, for sure.
Do you believe he's around?
I think so.
And he's gone on?
Oh, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean,
and so what do you think? I mean, you've been brought up the Catholic. You've heard me talk. You've heard other things. You're a curious guy. You're an intelligent man. What do you think happens?
If I had to put my finger on it, I mean, you know, the Catholics say purgatory and da 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 and all that, but I think, you know, I think we definitely maybe move on to somewhere else, and whatever that is, I don't know. You know, it's
is it a pleasant thing or an unpleasant thing?
I think it's a pleasant thing. I mean, I, you know, I don't know how the universe would handle, you know, a 10-time murderer. How, you know, how is that going to play out? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you pay for that in the afterlife or how that works. That's what, you know, most religions say, that you're going to pay for it.
Somewhere along the way, you have to be held accountable, don't you?
Yeah.
Would think. In life, we're held accountable,
you
right?
You would think.
And you wouldn't be the person you are if you weren't held accountable.
Right.
And I look at it as, if you hold things accountable with love, and love is without conditions, the highest love there is, and this is just kind of a playground, what we do here. And I'm not encouraging people to hack. Don't hack me up, please, Andy. But if there's a thing called karma, you know, if there's a creator that created all things and created the laws and then allowed us to go play on these things, then one of the things it created was this cause and effect. So what we do unto others will come back to us. And that's just to teach us.
Yeah.
And it may not come this time around. It may come around some other time. And so there's a thing called what they call them the Akashic or Akashic Records. It's a hall of records. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Mm-mm. Many people refer to that. And we can actually access those. But it keeps track of everything you've ever done in any time period ever.
Really?
So if you're thinking, well, I'm going to get away with this, it's like, well, and it's not like a judgment thing. It never is. Nobody's going to judge you or hold it against you.
Yeah, you're saying that it's just a way to store
what
information
or
whatever,
what
you've done.
And I know people that were going into the Hall of Records and check out their previous lifetimes or check out, you know, so they can get an understanding of who they are and why. Maybe in this lifetime, somebody's giving you a lot of grief. And you're going, why is this person doing this? And you go back and look in your previous time and you go, oh, I shouldn't have run him over with my chariot because I was a Roman. And I thought, you know what? Screw this guy.
He was Caligula.
He's a peasant. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to run him over. That feels good. Caligula, by the way.
No, I mean, I can definitely see it. I just don't know. One thing I do think about regularly, too, is when, you know, like I said, when the scientific side of me takes over with all this stuff and I start to think about, you know, we're nothing more than, you know, apes that have evolved and blah, 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 blah. But when you think about humans and the way we are, we're pretty special. When you think about emotions, especially, and laughter and crying, and, you know, we're the only organisms that do that on Earth.
Well, I think there are some animals that cry.
Yeah. Oh, you think so? Well, then they've probably evolved too. But I mean, all out, you know, communicative, emotional, you know, the things that humans experience compared to any other organism, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
And how, you know, how have we gotten here? That's what's crazy. You mean to tell me that if the powers that be or the science community are saying that we have evolved this far from apes or Cro-Magnon man or whatever you want to call it, then wouldn't you think that every other organism would have a chance to get there? But it doesn't seem like
no,
that.
No, it doesn't, does it? That's a good point. And that's something I read about an evolutionary story.
So why are we special? You know what I mean? And it seems like somebody put us here.
Absolutely. Do you believe in aliens?
Oh, for sure.
Do you think aliens put us here?
I think it's very possible. I mean, that may sound crazy to some, but when you think about the evolutionary steps, you know, even compare 10,000 years ago, Cro-Magnon man, to now. I mean, we have come so far, and you're telling me we have developed intellects and a brain
capacity? How come
we
never seem to witness evolution happening right now? You know, it's going to happen.
Right.
They say, well, it takes 20,000 years. Well, what if we're at that right at that right time?
Well, I tell you what, I have a story that, or one of my theories is dogs. My theory about dogs, that I think dogs have become so domesticated and have become so much part of our lives that they are evolving and taking on human traits.
Yeah, that could be make a lot of sense.
I think that when you see some of these dogs and how they behave and the emotions that they show, I think that they have kind of taken a turn because they're so domesticated and around humans so much that they are evolving with us in a certain way. Now, I don't know. I don't think they're ever going to get to a speech or anything.
I think there is, you know, there's like, we are evolving. there's our spiritual end especially is evolving. That's always evolving. And physically we evolve a little bit, but not to the extreme of going from a single cell to this. I believe we were created as well.
Right.
And like you say, dogs are evolving their consciousness and their attitude. And physically, will they change? They would if the world, you know, if
atmosphere.
If things change. Yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
But again, not to the extremes that Darwin proposed about how all of us came from one cell and then turned into something else and so forth. And I just know in my heart that there's something that we allowed us to be. I think it was a being that said, you know what? It'd be kind of nice to have other me's running around, little me's running around. I think that I want to experience all things at all times, every direction, every which way.
That would make sense.
And I'm going to create these things. And you know what? Out of love, because I love myself, I love everything. That's what the universe is. I'm just going to let them go do what they want. And I'm going to feel everything they do. And I'm going to live through that. And when they get lost, all they got to do is ask, and I'll tell them, it's right over here. Here's the sign leading you back home if you want, but you don't have to come home. Keep going. Keep experiencing, because there's never-ending journey, like that movie. It's a never-ending journey.
Yeah.
And what you want to experience is totally up to you. And the bad things that happen here, as loving beings, if we truly were in touch with that, they wouldn't. But this is kind of a place where there's dark and light, and dark is allowed, because all things are allowed.
Right.
But eventually it's going to run its course. And if we choose light, enough of us, then this becomes a place of light. I think there are planets out there in the universe that some are dark and many, many of them are light, are evolved to love and light. And that's the way they treat each other.
Do you think that we were created, or do you think that we were dropped here, or what? What do you think?
I'm not sure 100%. You know, I keep open mind to everything.
Yeah.
Because that's what, I don't ever want to. You know, there's some things I'm locked onto, but even then, I because that's when you stop growing, you
right.
know, and then you start getting full of yourself. Well, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just on this mission to find as many things as I can.
It seems like.
And I think, go ahead.
No, it seems like the evolutionary jump we have taken
yeah.
seems like too big of a step.
I think.
You know what I mean?
Here's my honest opinion, because I read this, you know, I read Ramtha and Masters of the Far East, and those really influenced me. And I believe we are little gods, if you want to call us that, and we created the universe and we created life here. And there were some of us that were here from the very beginning, because not all the beings came here right away. Some were, who knows where else they're at, you know, all these other dimensions. But the ones that said, hey, let's go try that physical journey, I think that should be fun. And other ones are going, I'm not going to do that. And so we came here and we created the physical bodies, and we experimented. That's why we had the prehistoric man. Well, this body's not working real good. He keeps getting eaten by a dinosaur. We better get rid of these dinosaurs. You know?
Yeah.
Let's get rid of the dinosaurs. Okay, boom, we'll wipe them out. And then we'll start over, and we'll put it back in there again.
Makes sense.
And then it's like we had these great intentions, and everything was done with love, I think, at one time. And when the first beings came here, they were very aware, and they knew what was going on. But then there were those that said, well, you know what? This is too easy. Let's have some fun. Let's make things a little darker. And this could actually be explained by the fall, the angels' fall, from what they talk about in the Bible. But
yeah.
I look at it as more as, we don't want to be of the light. We want to experiment what it's not to be of the light. We think that would be kind of fun. Well, I've never been in a physical body before. Let's try it. And we got locked into this. And so this became a belief in itself, and it's hard to get away from. And so the angels, the guides, the divine brothers that have come here, divine brothers and sisters, trying to tell us, there's so much more to you. You are so much more than what you realize. But I'm not going to tell you what to do, because I love you.
Right.
I would never tell you what to do. But I'll whisper in your ear, it's over here.
Yeah.
And so we have the opportunity to wake up, and we are. When we're truly connected out of our body, we get back to spirit, we know. But it's like when we come here, we choose to forget that, because it wouldn't be any fun. We like to play. So it's like,
yeah,
I'm going to come here and really make this a fun challenge and not know what the hell I'm doing and try to figure it out while I'm there. That's the fun of being in a physical body.
Yeah.
We don't have that experience, because we are beings, I believe, at our core, God is a being of thought. At the very core of God, he's pure thought. If you want to call it God, this being that created all things, that we are. We are basically that being. And he goes, I wonder if it would be nice to have more of me around. And so he contemplated that, and in just a thought, he created it. And then...
That makes sense. Yeah, I get you.
We are little aspects of that same whole. And then these beings of thought said, well, this is kind of fun, but I'm getting bored. I wonder what it's like to be the next step. Well, let's be light. Okay, so we created these little light bodies that are our souls that float around.
Yeah.
And then the next step after that, well, this is kind of fun, but let's try something else. We're always creating. We're little creators. Let's create a world we can live in and be physical. And we can go into these bodies, which really aren't us because we're just thought.
Right.
Little bits of thought,
sure.
Little bits of light.
Makes sense, yep.
And let's play. And that's what I think the universe is all about. And it comes from love, the divine love. And this divine love, like I said, it only knows.
So you think these little gods or whatever
you and I. Little God.
Like, that's your theory. Like, one thing we always talk about is how do you get the universe from nothing?
With the thought. You think about it, you create it. That's how powerful the thoughts are when you know them and harness them.
Well, how do you think the scientific community explains that? Because how do you get, I mean, if you're thinking scientifically, how do you get a universe, when you think about how big the universe is, how do you get that from nothing? Where is the starting point?
The nothing is the, you know, we look at the physical place as being the only place there is, a lot of scientists. But a lot of scientists are starting to change their belief and believe that, you know, I think when they did that particle acceleration and they realized your thoughts could affect those particles going through those beams of light.
Really?
Yeah, that experiment they did.
Yeah.
A lot of scientists are starting to see
the LRC or whatever.
That, you know, when we went up and looked at something, it affected. When we stood back and didn't do it, it went the way it was supposed to do. It's when we put our thought on it. So this tells you that thoughts are powerful and they can create. And I think, again, we are really from the nothingness. The universe is an illusion. So we said, boy, let's create this. And we did it, and we looked at all of it and said, well, we got to have this, and it's got to have this physics and this, all this stuff, quantum.
Planets. And
yeah, all of this stuff. So we understood that because God is he's the sum of all thoughts. So he already knows that. Well, if you want to create it, here's what it is. Boom. And we go, oh, I'm going to tap into that. Okay, here we go. And we know this within our being, deep within our being, all these things. And poof, it was created in an instant thought. And then it was allowed to evolve from there,
yeah,
as it wanted. And then we picked the planets we want to be on, and other life forms picked the planets they want to be on, which are all us. We're all connected. We're all one. And that's where I come from.
I hope we make contact someday. I really do.
Don't you think we already have?
I would like to think so.
Don't you think with all the people that have been taken and the stories... And maybe you don't know anybody or...
No, I don't personally know anybody. I mean, I only know what I've seen and the stories I've heard.
And you've seen UFOs before?
I've had instances. I mean, I had a couple of things when I was younger, but I couldn't really tell you what they were. I have never seen something in the sky that I knew, you know, without a doubt that was something strange. Never. I haven't had that experience yet.
But you have friends that have seen it?
I've had friends, yeah.
That have seen some really strange things?
Yep.
So that helps you believe then.
Yeah.
So you know. And then the thing is, how could our government not know about this?
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
And how could there, you know, there was a story going back to Roswell that after that ship crashed in Roswell, an alien being survived. And our government actually tried to keep it alive. And they sent out, they were trying to contact the planet that this being was from. And they got a response. And they worked on an agreement. Former military people have talked about this. This is how I know about it. That there was an agreement that they would allow some of our people to be taken. In return, they would give us technology. And this has played out. I think there's been many, many, many people that have said this, but you won't hear it publicly, but you'll hear military people. Or there's people that were at Roswell and witness some of those things. It's kind of cool when you can meet some of the people. There was a guy that I talked to, and he won't come on the show with me, but he knew a kid whose dad, when he was in school, and he lived in Lower Michigan, and he said they moved there, and the dad was a cook or was somehow connected to Roswell, and his dad would tell them all these amazing stories about seeing beings and all that stuff. So
really?
Yeah. And anybody that, a lot of people that were there, you know, if you get them to admit it, they will say that they saw things. And so I believe we've had this agreement for a long time. We've had contact.
They've done a hell of a job covering it
all. Yes, they have.
I can tell you that. Yes.
Well, look at what they have, disinformation. Anytime somebody says something,
they say they're crazy.
The media, what do they do?
Say they're crazy.
And if you were to find evidence, what do you think would happen?
They'd probably confiscate it or, you know, right, make me out to be a loon. Or
exactly. If you truly had something, do you think they'd show up and take it away from you?
I'm sure if it was real, yeah.
And there were reports of people having experiences, what's called the men in black.
Yeah.
And people that have evidence or have uncovered something, these strange individuals dressed in black, not like the movie, not Will Smith.
Yeah.
Will show up at your house and they will start going through your things, even when you're not there. And you'll come home and find everything turned over.
Yeah.
And they seem rather odd, like they're almost not even human.
Right.
The reports of them. So, as far as I'm concerned, that is going on full time. Too many people I know, too many things I've heard and read, have had experiences.
All right, so are their intentions bad?
I don't think so. Most of them, no. Yeah. I believe you ever watched Star Trek?
Yeah.
There was a Federation?
Yeah.
I think there's a Federation. You know, I interviewed Frank Ficino, if you ever want to listen to that on my podcast. But Frank did all this research of the Flatwoods Monster, which took place in 1952. And he believed there were like at least four different types of craft that were coming over the United States. Four different types. Now, why would it not be the same? And I said, that's almost like a federation of beings. He goes, yeah, I think it was. And I said, it almost sounds like they're doing an intervention. And I said, he said, I think so too, because we were doing military exercises in 52, which could look like to some other species that we were going to go to war. And they were maybe worried that it could be World War III. So they showed up over the eastern seaboard. And Frank tracked all these ships, and some of them were shot down and repaired by the beings. And it was different types of beings and different types of ships. And long story short is that there's been more than one species visiting us, and I believe that most of them are here to help us, but there also could be some
that are bad,
especially in our past. When you talk about the Old Testament and you hear these evil things, God was so evil. I never believed for a second that God was like that. Somebody else was calling themselves God and doing things to us that we worshiped as a God, and they, you know, came down in chariots. Or you can even see Ezekiel had the wheel, the burning bush, all these things that kind of say, that sounds like a ship.
Yeah.
And then you see the ancient drawings that go
Egyptians
back.
And
yeah, they go back before the Bible, and they talk about, you know, looks like astronauts. You can see drawings of beings and ships.
Yeah.
And so, really? It's not hard to put together that we've been visited. And some have helped us, and some...
So do you think they've kind of made a they've kind of, the government or whoever knows, and the Federation or whatever you want to call it, they've decided that people can't handle the truth?
No, I think they're keeping it from us.
Why?
Because they want to control us. The Earth is a controlled, it's a place of control. So when you look at, there are beings out there that are trying to help us, that are beings of light and love, but they will never force themselves. A being of light and love will never force itself. If you ask for help, they'll help you, but they'll only go so far. And the ones that are from, if you want to call it darkness, they love to control everything. So Earth has been that for a long time.
Right.
And slowly we're easing into this time of change. So that's what I think is going on.
Yeah.
And it's a gradual thing. And
I hope we see it someday. I hope I see it someday.
Keep asking for it. You know what? Come out to my place some night, and we'll get some lights. Come out to my place some night. And my friend who wrote about the Flatwoods Monster, he says if you shoot these lights up in the sky, he used to be able to call these ships in.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They might take you, Andy. I'll let them take you.
That's crazy, man. I there's got to be something. There has to be. Yeah. It is way too big and vast for us to believe that we are the only things. Got to be.
I told you I saw a being, right?
No, you and didn't.
I never did.
No.
Well, I got to go to head over to our, our meeting, so we're going to cut this off here. I'll tell you more about that if you want sometime.
Yeah.
But it was fun talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. I had a great time. I'd love to do it again. You know, we'll have part two.
Absolutely.
So.
And you can share. And I like the fact that you shared, you know, you're honest, which I find so many people in your generation are. They don't sugarcoat it, which is good.
Yeah.
You need to speak clearly, you know, right?
Oh, for sure.
As beings, we need to speak clearly.
Oh, for sure.
So you just, you just share it, and you don't have any remorse. Now, here I grow up, it's like, well, okay, I don't know if I should say this. It's
yeah.
Like, and that's good.
Yeah. No, I'm an open book, you know.
Right.
So, but yeah, I'd love to do it again, for sure.
Well, we'll definitely do it anytime you want.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.